welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
It's me again.
Hello, John. And I'm Karen, and we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported.
Ooh, fancy. Ooh,
yes, our new tagline. I'm very excited.
Cool, I guess.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes your opinion on that. All right. Hello, children. We have reached the end of the weirdest school year ever, and a milestone year at that. Elizabeth has just completed grade 12, and John has just finished grade 9, and I thought it would be good to do an exit interview of sorts. Do you guys know what an exit interview is?
I don't, but I do appreciate that you sort of said an exit interview of sports first. I vibe pretty well with that. We played a good game, but we just couldn't quite make it to the finish line there. They got a lot of touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
They had us in the first half, not gonna lie.
Okay, you guys, you're so clever. Anyway, an exit interview is what you do when somebody leaves your organization and you say, okay, well, come in and tell us everything that we could do better, or what was it like so that we could improve the experience for future people, or why did you leave? So
I aged.
Yes. So this isn't quite so much about improving the school system, although I think we're going to get into that, actually. But I just want to...
Unavoidable, really.
Yes, but I just want to ask you guys a little bit about this strange graduation that you have experienced, or not experienced, I guess, and then school in general. Does that sound good?
We have thoughts.
We do?
Okay. I have thoughts.
All right. Before we get into extracting those thoughts from you, let's hear about one of our sponsors. Are you ready for that?
I cannot wait.
Okay. This episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by World on Fire, a new podcast from CBC Edmonton.
Sounds dangerous.
World on Fire is a new 5-part series that takes you to the front lines of out-of-control wildfires in Canada, Australia, and California. Recording during the COVID-19 pandemic, hosts Adrian Lamb and Mike Flanagan look at what it takes to find hope in the midst of fear and destruction, and how communities affected by wildfires rebuild. The series examines the high costs that wildfires cause to people's health, home, and communities. And I've listened to the first episode. It's really good. Very, very good.
Sounds neat.
Mm-hmm. Find World on Fire on the CBC Listen app or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it online at cbc.ca/worldonfire. That's cbc.ca/worldonfire. All right. Are you prepared to be grilled?
I will be delicious.
Okay. When you were little, what did you think graduating from school would be like?
I did not think about it.
I also did not think about it very much. I was more excited. I don't know what you mean by little, I guess. What little is for both of us is probably a bit different.
It is. Three years
apart.
Yeah.
But I guess I was more excited about getting to the age where I could use a pen instead of pencil than I was to graduate, because that felt like more of a milestone responsibility than graduation, or more real. And then I got to the point where I was disillusioned with the education system, and it just became like a chore I had to achieve so I could stop.
I was focused on talking trains, so yes. I did not think about anything else for a good period of my growing up life.
And one day that will end.
Yes. I was going to say, and that ended when? Anyway, I have vague memories, more clear of Elizabeth, my firstborn, than of John, my secondborn, because that's how it goes.
This is a cool mom fact. She has amnesia of most of our childhood, and we aren't sure if it happened or not. So,
I'm pretty sure it happened. But I in kindergarten or grade one or something, I do remember some kind of thing where you were wearing a hat or a headband or something that said class of 2020. Like it was an exciting thing. And maybe it's because the year sounds cool, but you have been, you know, you are the class of 2020. You've been that since you started. And I feel like they were kind of trying to prime you for this exciting moment that turned out not to be like anybody expected.
Yeah, it sure was a cool, unique thing for a fun year name to have happen.
Assuming that it actually happened.
Okay. Never mind my fuzzy memories. How do you feel about how, particularly for Elizabeth, because graduating from grade 12 is supposed to be a big milestone. So how do you feel about how all this turned out?
I think for me, and actually for people I've talked to, even before everything kind of imploded, we weren't that hyped about it. Like, obviously, that's not true for everybody. The school had a grad committee and a dedicated Instagram account where everybody could post their grad dresses so nobody showed up in the same one. Which, like, I would do that on purpose. Then I have an icebreaker to talk about with somebody that I don't know so that it isn't awkward, right? But whatever, societal conventions or whatnot. So there were people who were definitely excited, but generally the vibe with people I've talked to is more like, oh, sweet, I don't have to go back next year. That's nice. I appreciate that part of it. And then post-grad has been a lot of kind of period of existential ennui, I guess, of like, now I'm responsible for my life, and what do I do with that? That's new. I don't know. Maybe school was supposed to prepare us better, and all of those assemblies got canceled, or maybe this is what it's always like, but it does feel a little bit like, we have chosen this arbitrary time to throw you out of the bird's nest, and now you must fly. So.
John, do you have any thoughts about, like, are you looking forward to graduating from high school?
Depends if I enjoy high school or not, really.
Right. And what are your thoughts right now about whether you will or not?
I don't have.
You don't have thoughts. Okay.
This is the theme of this episode.
Okay. Elizabeth, do you feel robbed or relieved that there was no grad?
Well, I wasn't going to go anyway.
I know.
Or more specifically, I was using it as leverage because mom cared more than I did. So I'm like, maybe if you do this thing for me, then I'll decide to go to grad. If you do this thing, then I'll even take the pictures for you. Da 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 da. So it was more of like a means to an end than like a milestone for me.
Yeah.
But I'm the kind of person who really doesn't stand on ceremony. And so it's like, my line is always, I don't want to clap for strangers for an hour.
But yeah. You clapping for strangers for an hour means strangers are clapping for you. It's supposed to be reciprocal.
I do musical theater, and my least favorite part is bows, because then I have to stop being the character and like acknowledge that we're both people in this space, and that's terrible. I hate it.
Right.
I'd like to add that the worst part of any live event is having to clap every single time for so long. It hurts my hands. Maybe I just clap too hard.
This is possible, but I also relate, and I clap gently, so who knows?
All right. Well, it is true that I was more excited about going to grad than you were. Not hugely. I'm like, we're not really ceremony people either, but it feels like a milestone.
Yeah, and I think you saw it more as like a family milestone of, my kid made it through high school. I'm doing a good job. It was like a parenting thumbs up for you, maybe a little bit.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have that context because as far as I know, I do not have children. I could have the amnesia and have no idea. But as far as I'm aware, I am not a mother.
Things happen on the mother side of things that are rather harder to forget than on the father side of things. So I think you're good. What do you think of all these efforts to kind of make up for a lack of a traditional grad for grade 12s? Like, there have been like grad ceremonies where celebrities have given addresses.
Oh God, it's the worst. No, I would not attend Zoom grad hard. I'd like the opposite of attend. I would persuade people not to show up actively.
Why? They're just trying to do something nice for you.
I know. I hate it when people do that without consulting me about my feelings, though. The worst thing. It's not maliciousness. It's kindness without understanding. I hate it. The worst.
So you did not watch any of those?
Well, we didn't have one for my school. I didn't watch any of the celebrities giving speeches. I also don't stand for celebrity any more than I stand on ceremony.
Right.
So, like, that doesn't really work for me. It could be somebody who I adore. Like, I could stan so hard and I wouldn't watch them say, good job for graduating, because I like having that barrier. I like pretending they aren't people and that we couldn't run into each other in real life. Which is also how I want people to approach me in the world.
Well, if the podcast grows enough, you might become a celebrity yourself.
Oh.
And I will quit.
Okay. Well, listen up, everybody. Don't tell anybody about the podcast. Yeah. You enjoy it, because, you know.
What our school did, which I think was a bit unique, at least compared to the other big school in the city, is we did have a physical grad. It was like drive-through, and I didn't go because I could have been working and making money instead, and it's hard to make money right now, so obviously I did that. Yeah. And also, like, what's the point even in doing this thing, I guess, for me? But I saw pictures of people who went, and they seemed happy with it, and they got to wear their dresses, and I guess nobody was wearing the same dress to the drive-through grad, so that's some good news.
Okay, do you think maybe it's a little bit of privilege talking in that high school, there was definitely some challenging moments for you, but it wasn't a struggle, I don't think, for you to graduate. And for some kids, it's like, it was really hard for them to overcome whatever they were going through.
I guess I see that, but I also, I don't know, maybe this is just a me thing. This is my approach to a lot of things, as somebody who is maybe not great at dealing with authority, or would maybe more accurately prefer to be the authority, is that I see a lot of the struggles those people have as sourced from the institution they're struggling within. And a lot of grad seems like more of a celebration of the school and the structures of the school, and it's a milestone because this is a necessary thing that you do and you completed it. And I always come from this revolutionary reformist perspective of, like, this was hard for these people and stressful for these people in a way it probably shouldn't have been, for reasons that are identifiable and often at least somewhat fixable, right? And so, like, I, in terms of being able to dislike it for personal reasons and have that feeling of, like, it not being a milestone, a lot of that's me and comes from a place of it feeling like a foregone conclusion for me. But I also feel like I don't think school is necessarily good. And so I feel like expecting people who come from a less privileged place to be grateful and celebrate for graduating when it was made hard for them to do that by the structure they were in is maybe not great too, if that makes sense.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
It was a good question.
Thank you. I feel like there's been graduation inflation over time. So now there's kindergartens that'll have little cap and gown ceremonies, and like, it's a big deal when you graduate from kindergarten. That was not a thing when I was a kid. Don't think it was a thing when you guys were, aside from this vague memory that I have of class of 2020 somewhere on your body.
I don't know. It sounds bad to me.
But grade 6 was not a big deal for me. Grade 9 was a bigger deal for me. So I remember I got a dress, and that my grandma, GGTU, bought me a little string of pearls to go with my dress, and it was kind of like a thing. And then grade 12 was another, you know, dress, and that one happened at the Jubilee Auditorium when we walked across the stage and all my family came. It was a big deal. What about grade 9 grad for you?
I didn't go.
You didn't?
No. I went to the awards ceremony, which, right, is probably what you're thinking of.
Yes.
They did grad and awards, and I won the Young Author Award, even though I'd never even attempted to publish anything, because I guess it was a rough year for them. And I remember my English teacher, drama teacher, and nemesis. It's been long enough that we can laugh at that weird, weird relationship now. I remember because I was in drama, we did like sword fighting. I was terrible at anything that wasn't like monologue and character driven. And she made this quip about like, and her pen, I can say, is mightier than her sword. And I was like, you monster. This was supposed to be my moment. And then she handed me the award plaque with the wrong name and I had to go get the right one afterwards. And then we ditched to go to like a clothing sale or something pretty soon after the ceremony. So that was my big grade 9 end celebration.
Do you think you were given the wrong plaque on purpose?
No, I think she was just not paying very close attention to which plaque she handed me. That's more on brand.
Is there anything else that you guys want to say about this strange end to your high school and junior high careers?
No.
I don't know, like...
Let me rephrase that. Does it feel anticlimactic or does it feel fine?
I mean, I do think the sense of, like, coming down from, like, a high that was never there, I guess. Like, I was never excited, but I still feel like I've hit, like, the pit after all of that excitement. If that makes sense. I was talking about that with a friend the other day, and it was like, we both had this period of, like, 3 days of just, what do I do with my life? Nothing is real. So, yeah.
Have you considered that you never left the pit at all? That you were always in the pit.
Is this the Matrix? Is this the Inception? Pop culture references I don't understand are my bread and butter.
Okay. Well, I have more questions about other things, but first let's hear from our other sponsor.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Pretend you are.
I am.
Okay. This episode of That's a Thing is also brought to you by Straight from the CPA's Mouth, a new podcast series created by the CPA Education Foundation and funded by the HESCHI CPA Knowledge Center. Alberta's chartered professional accountants, or CPAs, are experts on a wide range of topics and issues of interest to Albertans. Straight from the CPA's Mouth has discussions on topics important to you, from leadership skills and achieving career potential to financial literacy. I know Elizabeth is a big fan of financial literacy.
Big fan is a strong word. I think it's a good practical life skill that people should have. Yes. I took 1 year of financial management in high school like a nerd. So I guess in that way, I am an enthusiast.
There you go. But anyway, whether you're a university student, a new Albertan, or a parent, like a lot of our listeners are, you'll find something of value on this unique podcast. You'll find Straight from the CPA's Mouth on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or on the CPA Education Foundation's website at cpaalberta.ca/foundation. That is cpaalberta.ca/foundation.
I've been told it's interesting exactly just now.
Okay. It is. And they're very kind to be supporting the podcast network and our podcast. All right. Now I want to zoom out from grad and tackle some bigger picture questions. So the COVID-19 pandemic caused you to have to finish off your school years by this weird hybrid of homeschooling and distance learning. And I want to know what you thought of that experience. What was good about it?
It was okay.
Was it just okay?
I'm personally offended. I taught you for like 2 months. You better give me more than just okay, you monster.
Okay, you did fine.
John. I give Elizabeth A++ because she got you to do more work at home, schoolwork at home, than I've ever seen you do in your whole life. Right?
I mean, schoolwork, I've done more work at home, just not schoolwork.
Yes, but you did a lot of schoolwork and you did a lot of it quite well. And that's because I think you owe her a lot for helping you stay on track to do that, don't you think?
Oh, she hasn't asked for anything yet. So.
Okay. Well, Elizabeth, from your perspective, how was this?
I know for me, as somebody who kind of struggles, I guess, philosophically with how, or like morally with how education is run, I could write a dissertation and it would all be very confused and not great about my thoughts on the education system. But I guess, for me, it was hard to make myself do work outside of the doing work environment, or to make myself do work that I didn't really think was contributing to my learning. Because if your teacher has no choice but to pass you with the mark that you went in to homeschooling with or distance learning with, then how much you actually feel the need to adhere to like what you're being told to do is, for me, not very much.
And yet you did it. Like, you did the work. You did most of the work.
I did some of the work. I modified a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things for me teaching John, and you can talk a bit about this, John, was I did a lot of helping him modify things when I caught stuff that I knew, like, this is not how Jonathan is going to learn about this or will be willing to learn about this. So there was a lot of tweaking and then a lot of, like, begging him to just do the thing, wearing him down, so to speak. I don't know what strategies you actually thought worked for you and what was just dressing. But making your student feel bad for you so they do the work is really good for him in particular.
No, I don't think that was the main way you motivated him. And believe me, you should not motivate people by guilt.
Yeah, don't motivate people by guilt, but also John did that work.
I cannot deny.
Wow. But yeah, for me, it was maybe a bit, it was harder for me to sit down and do my work than it was for me to get John to do his work, which was what I was doing a lot of the time. I wasn't teaching him, but I was kind of creating a learning environment for him that I didn't have for myself. So he had like set school time and deadlines that were being enforced by somebody who was there and all that stuff that I didn't have.
Should I have been that for you?
I think I would have resented it and it would have sucked big time.
Okay, but I just feel like I kind of shirked, right?
Yeah, but I also feel like I do a lot of self-guided learning that doesn't necessarily align with the curriculum, but a lot of what's in the curriculum seems so arbitrary anyway. Like, what am I doing? Like, if we say, for example, social studies, the goal of social studies is to teach you about history and the political system and to create a good, rounded citizen ready to go into the world and do good, right? I would say that me actively following the uprising in the States or the protest movement, learning new vocabulary to cover those things, connecting it to the core ideas of the curriculum, all the stuff that I was just doing on my own, was maybe more relevant and useful to my learning than the curriculum worksheets I was being assigned, right?
Yeah. I think that my observation, actually, of both of you is that you are self-motivated learners. It's just sometimes that is a square peg to put into the round hole of school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about one of the modifications that you made for John to keep him doing something that was school, but not necessarily exactly what the teacher had in mind.
Well, we did a novel study. John, do you want to talk about the novel study we did?
I was supposed to do a novel study on Stuart Little. I am a big boy. And Stuart Little is, first off, I hate looking at Stuart Little's face. And second off, I don't know. I didn't prepare a second bullet note.
Well, it seemed like not something that overlapped with your interests and maybe a bit young for you, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do instead?
Frankenstein. It was very spooky. It was kind of boring sometimes, but it was mostly good.
Yeah. Frankenstein's face is like, it's canon that it's not nice to look at, but anywhere, or Frankenstein's monster face.
Yeah, but he's not a rat.
Okay. Anyway, that was a great suggestion that you made, Elizabeth, for him to read Frankenstein, because it wasn't a hardship for the teacher, right? Why did you choose that book?
Well, I'd been kind of pressing John to read that for a while. I tend to try to get John to read novels when I can. He doesn't always want to. We read a lot more graphic novels and comic books than novels, but like I'd gotten him to read American Gods a while ago. And he really liked that. And that's like a huge, difficult book. So I'm like, maybe something like Frankenstein, right? And so it was kind of bouncing around in my head. And then we got this recommendation that I'm like, John will hate this and make fun of it, but not do the work, right? And so I already knew that they teach Frankenstein sometimes because it's one of those classic literature novels and it's a foundational text for a couple of genres. And so I was like, why don't you ask her if we can do Frankenstein? We have the book already. I've read it before. I can kind of teach it. And that's what we ended up doing.
I thought it worked out really well. And I thought the other really cool thing that you came up with was to help make sure that John got through the book, but also as a family activity, because we had already, when the pandemic hit, one of the nice things that we did to kind of take a break from our screens was to have mostly Elizabeth, but a little bit of John, read Welcome to Night Vale out loud to me and each other. And so we did that with Frankenstein too. We read it, the three of us read it out loud.
We did do that.
Yeah, so.
Yes, we did.
Why did you like doing that?
Book.
Do you think it helped you understand the text that you were talking it over in the moment with other people who are also reading it? Do you think it enhanced your experience?
Yes, I enjoyed the book.
Elizabeth, it was even your second time around through the book. Were you making a sacrifice to do that, or did you enjoy it?
When I do something communally, I tend to prefer to have done it on my own first.
Yeah.
I don't like just jumping in and being new with everybody else. I like to feel like I'm better than you already. It's just a compulsion I have. So it was preferable for me that I'd already consumed a lot of Frankenstein media and read the book. We saw the ballet together, you yes. and I. So yeah. Your first exposure to the story of Frankenstein was the ballet version.
Well, the actual like Mary Shelley version of it.
Obviously
experienced various versions of Frankenstein in pop culture before that. This may ruin all of our reading out loud henceforth, but I have to tell you guys this, that one of the things that you mourn when you have kids is that time when they no longer want you to read out loud to them. It's a great milestone because it means you can read to yourself, and it means that you have independence, and it means that your bedtime does not require reading one more story. So it gives like the parent some freedom as well. But there was a time in both of your childhoods, which, and wouldn't have marked it because you never know when the last time you're going to do something is. Where's the last time I read you a story? Right. And so to bring this back to me, it was actually a very nice gift for me.
I kind of figured that, actually. I'm like, Mom's the kind of sentimental person who will like this for those reasons.
I'm so transparent. I looked at both of your report cards.
Tell me anything. I have this thing, okay? I don't know if this is like a common education ruins people's brains thing, but I get super, super up in arms about numbers now, and I can't look at them. Usually, like, I have to psych myself up. I want to know nothing, ever. Okay.
I will tell you nothing about your report card. But I will tell you, John, that your marks improved in the second half compared to the first half, which is so interesting to me, given this circumstance.
Are you surprised by that?
Nah.
Why not?
Okay, here's a question for you. Do you think that what you were working on got easier, or were you just working on it better?
I think I worked on it better.
Because the self-directed part was easier, or because you just really felt obligated to Elizabeth to not let her down?
I don't know. I just kind of did it. There's not a deeper meaning to anything.
There's a deeper meaning to everything.
Everything is shallow and meaningless. and
crawling in my skin.
Exactly. These wounds, they will not heal.
All right, I want to ask you some other bigger picture school things. So this is maybe a little bit of a rant that I have.
Okay. Are you ready for that? I will almost certainly respond with one. You know me.
Yeah.
Can I lie down?
No, you have to stay upright during this. But also, I'm looking to you, Elizabeth, for a corrective, because maybe I'm wrong about this. But
so, you know I love correcting.
Yes. So in this moment of Black Lives Matter and white people recognizing that we live in a different world than or we experience the institutions in a very different way from Black, Indigenous, and people of color people, it feels one of the things that I'm seeing on social media is people are bringing up history, lots of history that has been ignored or unknown or glossed over or whitewashed, literally. And a common comment that I see from people is they never taught us this in school. Do you know what I mean? You've seen that before?
Yeah, I've heard the phrase before. I've seen it before. Probably a lot more by Americans who I think are being forced to reconcile this more head on than Canadians are, which is not to say that it's not a issue here. It's a huge issue here. But because the protests we have aren't on such a huge scale and the police response to those protests hasn't been so aggressive and documented, there's still a significant portion of Canadians who can say, like, we're the good one, and then, like, strained smile as the world cracks around them, which is not to say that's an accurate worldview. It's just easier to have that worldview, I think.
But we're also having our own reckoning. There's a movement right now to change the name of the Oliver neighborhood because Frank Oliver was such a horrible racist, and there's lots of discussion about defunding the police because of systemic racism, and there's like a lot happening in Edmonton around this as well right now, and I think I've probably seen they never taught us this in school from Canadians. And
A lot of people in Edmonton specifically are learning about the Klan association that the city has. There's actually, I believe I actually learned about that first a while ago from
Let's find out.
Yeah. So we can link that episode in the show notes if you want to learn more about that. Yeah.
But my frustration actually with they never taught us this in school is school is not supposed to just be teaching you a list of facts about the world.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of facts. You can't teach kids every fact.
Give me a short list of facts.
Fact number one, you can't teach kids every fact.
That's right.
That was a short list. You're welcome.
That shouldn't be what school is supposed to be. Now, it is often what school is supposed to be, which is what most of the curriculum wars end up being over. And you know, conservative people will want you to learn this list of facts about our history, and progressive people will want you to learn this list of facts about our history. But that's not what school is actually supposed to do. It's supposed to teach you how to learn, right? And so, and learning is not just a school process. It's like an ongoing thing. What you should be doing is what everybody who has any consciousness at all is doing right now, which is educating themselves about our history, our actual history, other people's experience of the present and the past, and with a view to making a better future, right?
Yes. That's sure what it should do.
Yeah. And it just bugs me. It feels like, because a lot of the people who are saying they never taught us this in school, I would consider progressive people, but I feel like they're betraying a very retrograde version of what they think school is. Like, it's not supposed to. The school could certainly choose a different set of facts to drill and kill you on it if they want to. That would be better. But ultimately, school really should be organized in such a way to empower you to learn about your whole world in a more self-directed way.
I guess so. I guess where I depart with you from this is that's not what we're told school is. What we're told school is here are things you're going to learn so that you can succeed in the future, which is a very broad, nebulous kind of goal that you can worm a lot of things around and through.
And for not lots of people, it's not even a nebulous goal, because what they really mean by that is so you can get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that leaves us in this weird space where math is definitely, I'm going to teach you how to do math, because a lot of this math is stuff you're going to need to know regardless of what you do. And this math set is going to be useful for you if you do like a science or a mathematics or a like architectural degree, whatever, in university. So we're just going to get all that for you now. That's very like succeed in life, get a job. And then science is kind of that plus understanding the world in a meaningful way and just fostering an appreciation of science, which is as we've seen, an important thing to have.
Yeah.
And having a trust in the scientific method to correct itself when it's wrong and to give us good information, right? But then we're left with kind of English and social studies as core subjects, which are kind of weird to begin with. A lot of them, I don't know if this was true for you, but for me, there's more and more overlap between those two subjects. And they've overlapped more and more the higher up the grades I've gotten. So, like, I think we talked more about the history of racism in Canada and systemic oppression and internalized oppression and all that stuff in English this year than we did in social studies, which was more focused on the ideology of liberalism and how that's worked throughout history, right? So that was kind of an interesting space of both of these could kind of map onto each other, but they're separate classes. And I don't know. It's just kind of this, I feel like I've strayed very far away from the original point.
This is good.
I always have thoughts and they expand like this. but I guess my point is that if we want to decide that school exists to teach you how to learn and not how to move into the future in terms of like a very literal, we are preparing you for this specific thing you'll have to do in capitalism society sort of way, then a lot of stuff needs to be changed. Because we have two classes you could kind of put that in, but neither of them seem to have a very clear mission statement to help that happen. And so, like, if we decide that they didn't teach us in schools is not a useful idea, then we have to make it clear that this isn't what school is meant to do for you. It's meant to do this thing, which might include that. But also, this is where you do that thing, because I think that's not very clearly defined, and it leads to a lot of people who don't get this in school, but also nobody told them, and maybe they shouldn't have needed to be told, but that's no excuse for, like, you can't go back in time and say, well, you should have figured out to look here this many years ago, because that doesn't fix right now. It just makes people feel bad.
Yeah.
But like you either need to say, this is the space for this, in case you did not know, this is the space for this. Or you need to say, you know, everybody seems to think that this thing we have should be the space for this. So let's codify that it is, right? Because I think we have neither right now. And so, like, I get what you're getting at. And I think it's possible to make it so that this isn't what school does. But I think there are a lot of people who expect school to do this thing. And if that's what we're doing, we better do it real well,
yeah,
so that we aren't left with this awkward space in between.
That's a good answer. Thank you. Another hot button issue, I guess, at this point is school resource officers.
Oh, yeah. I have thoughts on mine that I won't share because he is policeman. I don't know if this is true for all high schools, but there's a bit of a cult of personality around my school's resource officer, I'd
Let's
say.
Let's just back up before we get into this whole situation, because I don't even know if John knows the background, and maybe some of our listeners might not.
Okay, so, let's back it up.
School resource officers are uniformed police officers who serve in, I think, mostly high schools, maybe some junior highs. And they are, half their salary, I think, is paid by the school board, and they are meant to be a resource and, I guess, mentor in some ways, but they also enforce the law, and they've been severely criticized by people, who've looked into this to say that they, enforce that sort of school to prison pipeline for, especially for racialized students. And so there was a, in Edmonton, there was a motion put to the Edmonton Public School Board to look into the program more carefully and also to cancel it until they get more details about, or more data about what it actually accomplishes for $1 million a year. And the motion to study it passed, and the motion to suspend it in the meantime failed, and lots of other things happened, which we will link to in the show notes. But that is why I'm asking you about school resource officers.
Yeah. So I'm, as we've established before, I'm pretty left wing. And I
had no idea.
Yeah, not like I radicalized you or anything. but yeah, so I kind of come from this perspective of, I'm not convinced that this is a good institution to have. And I'm also pretty big on, it's never too late to throw something away if we've come up with something better. Like, people get really invested in what's already around. I don't tend to subscribe to that. If somebody has a new idea, then we might as well try it out. It's rarely that what we currently have is the best thing that we could possibly have. Anyway, overthrow capitalism. But I guess so. We've had two school resource officers in my school, I think, since I got there. And I've never needed to interact with the school resource officer, so I don't know what that's like. And a lot of me not needing to interact is me being economically privileged, being a white person. I have that privilege as well. And then just generally having no investment in, like, causing trouble, quote unquote. Like, I tend to start insurgency and kerfuffles by complaining, and, like, I take the Karen approach, right? So I'm not gonna, like, break a window or something. And so,
why not?
You know, I do not have the stamina to run away, and also I don't know if it would be that productive. Satisfying, though, on the other hand.
But don't break windows when you get to high school, John.
Anyway. Until the last day.
See, that's why my high school career is going to be better than yours, because I'm going to be at school for the last day, and I'm going to get to break the window.
Yeah,
once... The one window in the entire school. The window.
Yeah, it's actually a giant prison, and there's one window. That's meta text. Okay. But, like, I guess even as somebody who thinks the school is dumb, I've never had to deal with any real forces of authority within the school. Like, I've never been sent to the principal's office, none of that. And a lot of that is just my privilege carrying me through, even when I'm, like, struggling, still carrying me through and protecting me a lot from having to deal with authority within the school. So I cannot speak to the effectiveness of that person in the school. I will say that I am rather uncomfortable with how much of a kind of glorifying and, like, just general, like, cheering on our school resource officer gets. I'm not thrilled about that.
Thank you. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
A lot and also not very much.
Well, yeah. I think we could find a different way to accomplish the good parts of what they accomplish.
in terms of uniformed officers specifically, I don't see what that uniform does besides make people nervous that there's a police officer around or hyper aware that there is a police officer around. And I'm not sure how much that specific part of it accomplishes, I will say.
Did you ever feel like there were some kids in your school who were dangerous?
I don't know. For me, I've never been in a dangerous situation at school. I've never felt unsafe at school. Or maybe more precisely, there was an incident where I felt like somebody was very upset with me at school, but I was also able to handle that without even contacting a teacher. And I couldn't imagine how much trouble that person would have been in if I had brought the police officer in for no reason because of it, if that makes sense. So you decided
not to be a Karen. You did not call
them. Yeah, I didn't Karen. But also, like, the reason they were mad at me was also because I kind of didn't want to interact with them and was ignoring them. So I felt like interacting with somebody else was not accomplishing my goal in doing this thing. I'm interested in John's thoughts on this, if he wants to share them, which he doesn't have to, or to maybe resolve quote-unquote dangerous situations. Yeah.
Well, Treasure, until now, I thought that was only a thing they had in the States, so okay. I have yet to form an opinion, but based on this conversation, I'm going to say bad.
Like I said, I radicalize.
Okay.
Like, scaring people does not cause reform is the take. I don't know. It's not a hot take, I'm pretty sure. It's quite lukewarm.
I think it's a good take. That's a good take. All right. My last question for you guys, that's maybe challenging, is I feel like you are now at a point where all the grown-ups in your life are asking you, so what are you going to do now? How do you feel about that?
They've been asking me what I'm going to do in the future for a while. I had the same answer, which is I don't know. So nothing will change.
How about you, Elizabeth?
I hate that question so much. If you're in my family and you're listening to this, stop immediately. We will not have a conversation that is fun for me if we do this. I'm learning to drive. You can stop. So that's just out there to all my family now. But I guess I started off with kind of a fairly solid conception that I want to do sciences, right? Because through like junior high and through elementary school, I was doing well in the sciences. And I found it interesting. And I thought it was maybe like a career with more of a future than the arts. And then unfortunately, in grade 11, I became an arts kid, which was a mistake.
It was very tragic.
I wept for weeks because I have feelings now. But I became like a philosophy kid, a humanities kid, an arts kid, right? And so I kind of let go of the sciences because the way it was being taught didn't really resonate with me. And I had to work a lot harder to do well in it. And I found that I didn't feel like putting in that extra work to do well in it, which was telling to me that maybe I wanted to do this in the first place because I thought it was easy for me to do. And as soon as it stopped being easy for me, I didn't want to do it anymore, right? That seems like a good way to get into a career you end up hating. And so just kind of through that process, I ended up deciding, I'm going to let go of this. I think I'm holding on to this for bad reasons, so I'm going to let go of it. And what I've found that I like doing, even when it's hard, not when I don't agree with why I'm doing it, that's a different fight for me, but when it's difficult for me to do or get right or keep in my head, is I like the humanities, I like philosophy, I like rhetoric, I like all of that stuff, right? And so now I'm in this weird space where I'm like, oh God, I have to try to make money in the hell capitalism society doing this. And there are already too many YouTube channels and podcasts about why that's bad. So I can't make money off of that thing because the market is saturated. Dang. So I guess I've been submitting little bits of poetry and stuff to, various contests, and I have like ideas for essays that I should probably start submitting to like scholarships and stuff if I ever get around to actually doing that. because I think I can be a good essayist when I try to. Might as well use those school skills for something. But otherwise, I'm just kind of taking a gap year because I want to accumulate the money. But also, it's very hard to accumulate the money because of the virus. Because everybody got fired, they're not hiring new people, right? So I have a temporary, very like part-time, irregular hours job right now that I love, like actively really enjoy doing a lot. But it's also not like a long-term stable thing. So there's a lot of uncertainty for me and I think a lot of people right now in terms of that. I think a lot of people who would have been going to school, maybe not going to school, and just taking that time to step back, especially if the school, like I know in the States, a lot of schools are doing a lot more remote learning.
Here too, U of A has said that it's going to be online. Yeah.
And that's really hard for a lot of people. It was hard for me because I didn't want to do what the school was telling me to do. I wanted to do vaguely relevant things that I thought were important. And so because of that, like, I think this is a good time for people to stop kind of sticking to the timeline that people have had for maybe two generations, three generations of this is the lineup of things you do, and maybe like stepping away and doing something else because the circumstances are clearly not the same, right? The economy is not in the same place. The world is not in the same place. We are, until a vaccine is created, and even probably for a while later, we're going to be in a position where we're constantly under threat of COVID flaring up again, right? And we have to be ready for that and to tuck back into our homes if we need to. And so I think this is a good time for what are you going to do to be a meaningless question? Because who knows?
There you go.
Family. Yeah. So my answer to that question in short is no.
Okay. Also no, John.
What are you going to do with your life, John?
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. That's on brand.
Okay. All right, Elizabeth, this is Pride Month. And normally, probably, we would have done a podcast about that because Pride is a thing for us. But I understand that perhaps you have salvaged the fact that we didn't do a Pride episode with some suggestions for folks.
Yeah, so this year's Pride was overtaken by revolutionary praxis, which is maybe what we should have been doing to begin with now that we think about it. But what I found is retreating into fiction is nice right now, and I like doing it. So we're going to do a little bit of that. And another thing I've noticed during this time is, and just anytime we hit summer and I lose my structure, is that I kind of don't understand time as a linear thing anymore. And what I've actually found helps me know, like, this is the day of week it is and everything like that, is reading regularly updating webcomics.
Okay.
And all the webcomics I read are gay. So I'm going to do my best to pronounce names. And I tried to look up what I could. But just be aware that we are going to link everybody in the show notes. And yeah. So my first recommendation, this is great if you have a lot of free time and you're bored, is Questionable Content by Jeff Jock. Which is a kind of slice of life comic that...
And Jeff Jock is also a very powerful name.
It is a very powerful name. You should see how he spells it. It's even better. But yeah, it's a slice of life webcomic. It kind of... There are like 5,000 of these, maybe more. So like you can go through the entire catalog. I'd say if you just want to jump in, I'd start more around 1,500 or so when he really hits his stride for what he wants to do. But it has this huge queer cast, and it talks a lot about those issues, and there are robots in it. If you like robots, it's not sci-fi, there are just robots in it, and it's really fun, and it comes out every weekday, which is nice. Or if you're in this time zone, it comes out the night before, and I eagerly refresh the page until it comes out, because this is the only way I understand time. This one's a little bit less regularly updating, but I get excited when it does. Punderworld by Linda Sayich. I'm trying. this is a this is like kind of a dime a dozen story these days, but it's a retelling of Hades and Persephone's love story, which I like because it isn't crushingly sad like Orpheus and Eurydice and a lot of the other Greek ones. They just love each other and it's nice. But she has gorgeous illustrations.
That's not the version of that story that I know. But, okay.
We have Tumblrized the story, Mom.
Okay.
Nice now and they're in love.
Okay.
But anyway, she has this really, really beautiful art style and retelling of the world. It doesn't have a huge queer cast, but Artemis is super gay, as it should be, and I love it. Here's another one, The Sea in You by Jesse Sharon. This one has mermaids in it. I like mermaids. It also kind of updates sporadically, but it's really nice. It's kind of a closed story, but it's still updating, and it's about a goth girl who encounters a mermaid, and then it's nice, and they become friends, and it's very cute, and you should read it.
I assume that's just the dream, isn't it, for you?
It is the dream, yes. But also, I kind of want to be, like, the alternative-style mermaid sea creature rather than the goth girl. It's complicated. Perry Tale / Life of Melody. So this is by Mari Costa, and it's complicated because she started off creating this series of constantly updating about a fairy who's trying to complete her first fairy tale, but it's hard because she doesn't have magic. So she's basically just like a person, but with magical education. So she has to resolve all this stuff on her own. And one of the really fun jokes I've found is that she got really good at climbing because she grew up in fairy world, but flying is a magical ability. And so there are tons of fun sight gags like that. But because she was going into school, she started updating a previous comic that she's been working on called Life of Melody, which is more of like a domestic story also about a fairy, but this one does have magical powers, and it's this kind of troll creature and this fairy, and they're trying to raise this child together for maybe not altruistic reasons. Both of these stories are very gay, and I think you will like them. They're good. And they also update three times a week, I think, which is nice. And then my last one, this is a completed one. You can actually buy the trades of it in your local comic shop. And that's Check Please by Ngozi Okazu. It's about a hockey player who was a figure skater first, and he likes to bake, and he's going to school for hockey university. That's the scholarship he's on. And hijinks ensue. And I love this one because I'm Canadian and there are so many Canadian jokes in it. And I really appreciate that. And it's also gay. But yeah, it's really good. And then I have one YouTuber I want to recommend, Jessica Kellgren-Fozard. She's British and she's deaf, actually. And she's a lesbian and she has a wife and she dresses in vintage style and I'm in love maybe a little bit. And she's been doing a Pride series this month that's been really, really interesting and well-produced. And it's a good way to both enjoy some wholesome queer content and learn about queer history. And it's nice. So I would also recommend that. Check that out. Entertain yourselves in these dark times.
This sounds like an excellent curriculum.
Yeah. I'm your teacher too now.
Well, you are my teacher.
I'm your English teacher, and I only assign vaguely queer webcomics and one good YouTube channel.
Could be worse.
I've had worse.
All right. You can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever else pods are cast. You can also find us and the rest of the outstanding members of the Alberta Podcast Network at albertapodcastnetwork.com. We are on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG, and you can always email us a question or a comment at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. Remember that we have buttons, and if you send us your mailing address, either by DM on our Twitter or by email, we will send you a button. We sent Doug a button, one button.
One button.
And he sent us an envelope brimming with treasures.
Do you consider balloons that say curse words on them treasures?
Yes.
You do.
That is true.
Yes, he knew. He knows his audience. Oh, there's like all kinds of pins and buttons and stickers, free stickers. It was delightful. So we did not expect that at all. That was above and beyond.
Doug is the gold standard.
Doug, platinum standard, I would say. You do not have to give us anything, but it was really nice. And we will just give you a button in exchange for your address, believe me. Correct?
Yes, although that does make it sound like you're like one of those Facebook like data harvesting things where it's like, just give us your address and we'll give you a button and then we'll have your address for the rest of your days.
We probably should be getting people's email addresses and sending them a newsletter, and you know, that's the path to monetization on this, but that's not what we're really here for. So
we're good people, trust us. With your address, so that we can give you a button and nothing else.
That's literally true, but now it sounds like that's not what we do. Anyway, is that everything, Elizabeth?
Yes.
Is that everything, John?
Probably.
Thanks, sweethearts.
Bye.
Bye. Where do we accept comments? Anywhere?
That's the thing, Yegg. On Twitter.
Yeah, please tell us if we missed anything.
Not on the broad scale of like all things, but no. Just like your personal thoughts on the things we talked about specifically, please.
I am looking for everything.
No, okay. We're going to do the end part again.